This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Many seniors graduating in the class of 2020 won't be walking across a stage to smile, shake hands, and receive their diploma this year. Many didn't even know they were experiencing their last day at school until it was already over. And yet, some say completing their last semester in the middle of a pandemic has provided valuable lessons, lessons that it took getting out of the classroom to appreciate. If you have questions or comments on our show today, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. Just give us your name and where you're calling from and your quick question or comment. We will do our best to get it into the conversation later in the hour. Again, that's 866-476-3881. Joining me now to talk about what this unprecedented spring semester has been like are two seniors from Carmel High School in Carmel, Indiana. Natalie Camus, welcome to All In, and congratulations on your graduation around the corner.
Thank you so much.
And we also welcome and congratulate fellow senior Rhea Chinney. Rhea, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Natalie, you and Rhea are both members of your high school's news magazine, The Highlight. So not only have you been living this experience, you've also been documenting it. When did it become clear that this semester was going to turn out to be different than you imagined?
So I think the rumors started mid-March, I think, or early March. And we were actually in the middle of production week. So that was the week that we were preparing to send our spreads to the printer to print out our March issue of the Highlight. And so there were rumors going around that there might be a suspension of in-class, in-person classes. And so we had to flip around our schedule a little bit so that we could send our printers or send our pages to the printer ahead of time. And also to plan out what would happen for the April issue, the May issue, and also the senior issue, too, because we were starting that up as well.
And so what did end up happening? Obviously, when I hear things like printer and things like that, I think, OK, so you get them printed. And then what do you have them just kind of sitting around at school for people to pick up? How have students been able to actually read it?
So, you know, the Highlight, we're always on top of schedule, and we were able to get our printer or all of our pages printed in time. But those stacks of highlights are still sitting in the Highlight room, I think. I'm not actually sure where they are right now, but we do always have an online issue available for our peers to look online as well. And so we've been posting about on social media to the link of the actual online issue. And so we have a copy of it online, but I mean, I would love to see it in person soon. I just don't know exactly like when we're going to get to see it in person, but yeah.
Have you gotten any feedback from your peers on how your coverage has gone?
Yeah, I mean, usually when we always come out with a new issue, we don't really have a lot of people who are dying to see the issue. I guess student newspaper and student journalism isn't like a big thing right now with our within our peers and like in our society right now. But with all the coverage about the COVID-19 stuff, it's leaving a lot of our students questioning like what's happening because they're kind of like out of the loop. So they've been really appreciative of us posting things on social media about closures and like the next steps that Carmel are taking. And they've been posting about it too on their own social media pages. And it's been spreading around, which has been really exciting to see.
Rhea, how did you feel when you found out that you'd be finishing your senior year from home?
Well, you know, it was definitely a big surprise. When Natalie was talking about it being production week, when we kind of start, you know, to hear the rumors, the last day of school for me was actually, it was one of our last days to send things to the printer. So I kind of got lucky in that I was able to stay at school a little longer and appreciate the Highlight room a little more before I had to go home. And, you know, we thought it would be temporary. We expected to be back after spring break. We thought that by May, everything would be totally fine. But knowing when we got the notification that the entire semester would be moved online, I think I was probably most upset about not being able to see a lot of my peers that I only see in school, and especially about not being able to say goodbye to my teachers in person.
Hey, Rhea, can you talk a little bit about what it's been like to do school from home? Do you follow the same sort of daily schedule that you did before? What's that been like?
I'm going to be very honest. My schedule is completely turned upside down. I think I can speak for a lot of other high school kids when I say that I'm sleeping in the middle of the night, waking up at noon most of the days. It's nice that our online school is really flexible. Carmel High School is great in that we can pretty much log on to Canvas and do our assignments whenever in the day we want, as long as we're meeting those deadlines. So it's really good when we have those schedules that are kind of all over the place. So I'm thankful for that. I've been able to get stuff done, but definitely working from home is a huge change in environment. So it's a little hard to stay motivated sometimes, but our teachers send us cue messages and things like that to keep us going. And they're being nice about extensions and just really keeping in mind the whole situation.
Natalie, same question. What about you? What's the transition been like? Do you still have all the same finals and tests to study for?
I mean, the beginning of the semester, even without the whole COVID-19 situation, I think senioritis has hit me really hard. And so I think the lack of effort to actually complete assignments started like the beginning of the semester. And I think this whole COVID-19 situation just made it worse too. I think I've only maybe spent a maximum 45 minutes or an hour a day on schoolwork. And I think it's also because like teachers right now are being really nice to seniors because they know we're going to graduate at the end of all of this. And there's not really a point for us to continue doing a lot of schoolwork when we're already at the finish line. And so I haven't been getting a lot of schoolwork. I mean, for highlight, there's no such thing as senioritis. You have to keep working. And it's, I mean, I've been keeping up on that especially. But yeah, a lot of my classes, I mean, I haven't had a lot of schoolwork and I'm spending most of my days just, I don't know, catching up on social media and watching Netflix. There hasn't been really a lot. And I think nothing really has changed other than the fact that, yeah, we're not in school anymore. We're at our homes. I think that makes it a little bit worse too, because I have a full family of five and we're all trying to do things as well. Like my dad's working from home and I have siblings in high school and in middle school too. So we're all trying to do things and it's not a very good motivating environment, but I mean, we're managing. And yeah, I'm just waiting for the semester to end.
I think it's interesting that highlight has kind of come to the forefront, you know, that coverage. I mean, it really does. It becomes the boss, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like at the beginning of the year, Mr. Streisel emphasized that there's, especially if you're a senior, like you need to put in the effort. And student journalism right now isn't really just so that we can put out content that we make. It's more of informing our peers, informing our community. And I think the whole COVID-19 situation is really highlighting that whole situation, that whole mantra of really pushing out content so we can inform our peers.
What were some of the things that you were looking forward to this semester that got totally disrupted by this?
Well, I mean, the certain milestones like prom and graduation, that was always on the back of my mind. I mean, I hadn't bought a prom dress yet, so I guess when prom actually came around, I didn't really feel too sentimental about it, especially because I went to prom last year too, so I had my chance. And graduation as well, like as a little girl, I always dreamed of walking the stage. But I mean, I'm thinking of it in a positive light now that like I'm glad that we're not having a graduation, because obviously it's a very dangerous time, and especially with 1,300 kids plus all of their family members, like it's too much of a risk to have a graduation. And I mean, imagining sitting there for like 3 hours while they call 1,300 kids' names, like that sounded a lot to me. But I think mostly I was very upset about my concerts that were canceled. I'm in the orchestra at my school and we had four canceled performances. We had our side by side with the Carmel High School Orchestra that was canceled like really early on, March 23rd, I think. So when this whole situation picked up. And then our state competitions, the ISMA district and ISMA state competitions, those were canceled. And then we also had our final performance at the Palladium, in which we do every single May. And that was like really disappointing because that was my last send off in the orchestra. And we spent so much time working on really difficult pieces this semester. And it's just a shame that we can't actually perform it.
Rhea, I heard prom went virtual this year. What was that like?
It did. So our school actually put together somewhat of a virtual prom where we would just sign into a Zoom link. And one of our English teachers, Mr. Chad Andrews, he's actually a DJ. he does that as another job, and he's actually really, really great at it. He's even played like raves for us in the hallways during homecoming. He's super fun. So he put together some music for us with some cool transitions. And our school even had some guest speakers come and talk to us, which was nice, some motivating messages. So, everyone kind of logged on and then dressed up, don't dress up, whatever you do. So my friends and I, we actually all got dressed up and we did like a group FaceTime while we had this Zoom running in the back. So yeah, we were just trying to make the most of it, but it was really nice of our school to try and give us kind of what we had.
So, I mean, it's clear that this semester has asked a lot of students to adapt quickly and to adjust to a lot of uncertainty. Rhea, what have you taken away from this experience, I guess?
Honestly, definitely that being flexible and adaptable to new situations and different obstacles is such an important skill to have. And it's not even just how you feel about it, but just how you react and cope with it. Because a lot of times change can be difficult, especially if you're expecting something or it's difficult for you to handle certain things, like all of our tests being taken online or certain assignments. Just even with Highlight, it's been difficult for us to not be in one room talking to each other. We've had to really rely on communication through Slack and Zoom meetings. So it's just been a lot of trying to do alternatives that will make up for what we don't have right now. And it's been a lot of cooperation and putting in a lot of effort to try and make things work. And I think it's just an important lesson in knowing that if you're faced with something new, sometimes you just have to deal with it. Sometimes you just have to put the work in.
Rhea, in about 20 seconds, because I want to make sure I get Natalie's answer to this question, what's next for you after graduation?
So I am headed to Nashville. I'm studying neuroscience at Vanderbilt University, and hopefully we'll be writing for their student newspaper as well.
Natalie, what about you?
Well, I'll be headed up to West Lafayette at Purdue, and I will be studying pre-pharmacy on the pharmacy track, which is a six-year program. And I'm not sure after that. I think maybe I'll do some graduate research or join the orchestra there, or maybe join the student organization or student newspaper organization too.
Natalie Camus and Rhea Chinney, both graduating seniors at Carmel High School. Thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on your upcoming graduation. We're wishing you the best.
Thank you so much.
Up next, we'll talk to a community leader and a principal about the efforts they've made to reimagine the ways that celebrations can happen in a time of distance. If you or a loved one has reached a milestone this spring, how are you finding ways to celebrate? Let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're celebrating graduating seniors. As always, we would love your questions and comments on the topic. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from, to 866-476-3881. Seniors have been finding creative ways to mark their accomplishments and successes this spring. And some communities have gotten just as crafty finding ways to make sure that students are celebrated, even if it's just from their front porches. We're joined now by a mother in Crown Point, Indiana, who's organized efforts to make graduating high school seniors across her community feel recognized. Jenny Gleason Paws, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We know, Jenny, that you've been busy this spring trying to bring a little joy to a situation that's brought some disappointment to a lot of students who are really looking forward to a season of graduation parties and proms and spring sports. The list goes on and on. But despite the circumstances, the community has found ways to celebrate. What have you all been up to?
Well, we've been up to several things. Myself and my friend Susan Gleam have joined forces in creating some Facebook groups to bridge the gap between the seniors and their parents and kind of get us all on the same page. We created a mom and dad's group and seniors to start off with, just to kind of reach out to everybody and let them know that we were thinking about them and that we weren't going to let the seniors go without some kind of celebration. We then started the Celebrating Class of 2020 Crown Point Seniors page, where we asked the community to purchase red light bulbs for their front porches, along with yard signs for the class of 2020 Crown Point grad. Then we, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, the red light bulbs. Is that a thing that's been going around?
It is. We sold well over 220 red light bulbs just ourselves. We had several people reach out to us to let us know that they were going to put their red Christmas lights out. People had red bulbs from either Christmas or some other function that they've put out. So yes, if you drive through Crown Point, you're going to see several red light bulbs, and it's all for the Crown Point seniors.
Is that a school color, or is that something that's kind of being done all over?
It is a school. I mean, that's our school. Red and white is essentially our colors. We're the Crown Point Bulldogs. So we thought red would be the best color to represent the seniors.
There you go. And can you tell us about the Crown Point class of 2020? I hear it's a pretty big class.
700 plus.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a lot of kids who are not going to get the kind of graduation that you or I had.
Exactly. Us along with probably about 25 other schools in the state of Indiana do have these large numbers. And you know, so you see these other communities that the schools are able to do things for the students, or the city itself does things, but we can't in good faith expect our school system to do something for 700 students, though they did. But because we bought them all senior gifts that they will all receive on Wednesday that they're not aware of yet. But yeah, so we have our own predicament just because, I mean, the social distancing, 700 plus students, that's a lot of kids. I mean,
yeah,
not fitting in into an auditorium, and you give an influx of the parents and you're talking a bare minimum of another 1400 people. So graduation with just two parents looks at 2100.
And your own son is one of these seniors that had his last year of high school interrupted. Was he looking forward to this semester?
He was. He is my only child. So my son is a baseball player. And so for various reasons, he has missed out on several things for his senior year. Though he's not as disappointed by the things that I thought he would be. He's disappointed that the last time he walked the hallways, he didn't realize it was going to be the last time he walked the hallways.
Ah, yeah. It's baseball. Has he been accepted to college? Has he gotten a scholarship around baseball? How uncertain is that?
He has. He will be going to Franklin College in Franklin, Indiana to play baseball as a pitcher.
Oh, wow. Okay. But, I mean, how has that conversation been going with baseball being one of these sports that has been completely disrupted by this?
It's big talk in the Paws family house. It has taken up our summers, our spring and our summers for the last 10 years. Our life revolves around baseball, and he didn't get to play one single game as a senior for the varsity team. He was out for 3 weeks last year with a concussion. He did play several innings as a pinch runner, but he never actually got to pitch a varsity game. So you've got a kid that's going to college to play baseball as a pitcher that never actually pitched a varsity game.
So this Adopt a Senior program, are all of the adopters parents of seniors, or can just anyone in the community there participate in Adopt a Senior?
Anyone in the community can participate. We've had businesses, we've had preschool teachers, high school teachers, administration, complete strangers, grandparents who no longer have kids in high, you know, grandkids in high school. It's been a very diverse group of people that have adopted our kids.
And what about some of the things that are making their way to students through this program? And I mean, is it notes of encouragement? Is it little gifts? What's showing up outside students' doors?
Anything goes. We're not asking the community to spend a bunch of money, just something to show the seniors they're being thought of. I've seen people just getting cards. I've seen gift cards. I've seen a blanket made from pictures for seniors, T-shirts from the colleges they plan to attend, baskets full of their favorite snacks. You name it.
Koozies, all right. Have you gotten any reactions from students? Have any of those reactions made their way back to you to find out how it's going?
We have actually had, Susan and I have actually had seniors reach out to us either via text message or on Facebook in one of the groups, just thanking us for all our efforts. They're super appreciative of everything. They've even come up with some ideas like, hey, we know that you're doing this. Would you mind like maybe looking into doing this as well? And so, yeah, we've gotten a very positive feedback from the seniors too.
And we've mentioned, of course, that Crown Point's a pretty big school, and this being one of the bigger graduating classes, when, you know, under normal circumstances, what does a graduation typically look like?
Well, up until just here recently, we used to use the Radisson Star Plaza, which is where concerts used to be held, but they actually tore that down. So last year it was held at the football field. The good news for us is, Matt, is that we just got notification this past week that we have a tentative actual graduation ceremony scheduled for July 21st.
Oh, okay. So we may actually get a graduation ceremony.
We may actually get a graduation ceremony. You know, everything's going to depend on how the opening up of the state goes and how everything pans out over the next 5 to 6 weeks. But as of right now, they have a tentative date. The parents have agreed, I shouldn't say the parents because that's 700, but the small group that meets with the administration on a Zoom meeting every week has agreed that it is more important for our 700 plus students to graduate together than for us to physically be there. So as long as we can get 700 students at the stadium, then they will go ahead and do the graduation. But as of right now, they're saying that they're going to allow the parents to come. They've allowed us 4 tickets so far, but as I stated, that's all kind of a waiting game to see how everything pans out over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Well, and speaking of parents, one of the functions of this Facebook group that you organized wasn't just to celebrate seniors, but also to help communicate with parents, parents-to-parents communication. And I'd imagine when the school closed down, parents had all kinds of questions about what the following weeks would look like. What has that period of transition been like for the school and you, the parents?
It's a learning process. We are still trying to somehow, some parents are still missing out on the emails that we get every week. So, like the email that just came out last week to let us know that we could pick up our cap and gowns on May 13th and that there was a tentative graduation set for July 21st. Some of the parents didn't receive that, but we share everything on our mom and dad's page on Facebook. And so we're trying to get the word out there. So the learning curve is there. We are continually adding people to our Facebook group, or getting word of mouth out so everybody knows what's going on.
What have you learned about your community through this experience?
So I was born and raised in a town of 3,500. And this city is over 33,000. It's a lot tighter knit than I thought it could be, as large as it is. Our community has been amazing with everything, not just the seniors, but everything with this pandemic. They have come forward and helped with the seniors and helped show our emergency personnel that they appreciate them with different things that they've done at the hospital. They have blue lights out for the emergency workers. They've taken in donations for families who can't afford things. It's been amazing.
Is there anything you'd like to say to the class of 2020 if they're listening in right now?
Oh, wow. You put me on the spot, Matt. you did it. I mean, you got through something no other class has ever been through. And you're going to do great.
Jenny Gleason-Paws, thank you so much for what you've done, and thanks for taking the time today. Congratulations to your son, by the way, and all of his peers on their graduation, and we hope that you all continue to celebrate as well.
Thank you so much, Matt.
We turn now to another high school whose seniors won't be walking across the stage in their cap and gown to receive their diplomas. Instead, these seniors will take a lap around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and walk across the yard of bricks. Joining us now to talk about it is the principal of Speedway High School, Luke Zartman. Luke, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So a graduation ceremony at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm sure lots of students were looking forward to walking across the stage, perhaps, but this sounds like a pretty cool consolation to me. Where'd this idea come from?
Well, it actually originated from feedback that I got from a few parents and students. And one of my emails that I had sent out for my communications once we switched over to our e-learning when schools got shut down, I had explained that several things had been postponed, and I put a little note in there about graduation that we were committed to still trying to honor our seniors in the best ways that we could find. And I put it out there that if anybody had any ideas, to please share those with me. And I got several emails back and had several great ideas, but the reoccurring theme that kept popping up was, you know, hosting it or trying to host it at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And so from there, we actually have an alumnus that works at the track, and I reached out to him and asked him, kind of gave him a pitch on what we were thinking. And he liked the idea and said that he would take it to Doug Bowles. He liked it enough that he was willing to take it up to Roger Penske. And after a few weeks of waiting, they got back to us and said that we had been given the green light, and they were honored to help us out and to help the community and our seniors, and definitely wanted to be a part of trying to create a memorable experience for them and their families.
Doug Bowles, of course, being the president of IMS, and Roger Penske, of course, being the new owner. And what kind of relationship does the district have with IMS? There's got to be a lot of history there.
There is. You know, our high school is, in essence, kind of in the shadow of the track. It's just down the road from us, about eighth to a quarter of a mile. And obviously, being in Speedway, you know, the whole community, the IMS is such a big part of, you know, our culture here and who we are. And they are tremendous community partners to work with. And to be able to host our ceremony in such an iconic place, not only for our town, but a place that's known throughout the world, is truly an honor and something extremely special that I know our community, our families, and especially our seniors are going to appreciate greatly.
So can you walk me through the logistics here? So are graduates and their families going to be social distancing up in the stands, or is everyone staying in their cars? How's this going to work?
Well, we are still working through all the nitty-gritty details, but the overview is, yes, we are going to maintain social distancing guidelines throughout the ceremony and all the other things that go along with it. But general overview, we are going to have our seniors and their families meet in our parking lot here at the high school. Each graduate and their families are going to be in one vehicle, and we are going to line them up in our parking lot just like we would if they were getting ready to enter our auditorium for a normal graduation ceremony. And from there, once we have everybody lined up, we are going to be led by our fire and police through the town of Speedway. They're going to take us through so that the community can come out and support and cheer on our seniors as they proceed through town and make their way to the track for the ceremony. And once we get to the track, they'll have a holding area for all of our cars, and a select number of cars will be released onto the track at a time, where they'll make their way around to the start-finish line. We will have an area set up right there on the yard of bricks where, once the graduate hears their name, that I'll be announcing just like we do in a normal graduation ceremony, they will make their way to a table that will be set up that will have their diploma sitting on it. And we also are going to have, sounds like, some engraved milk jugs that one of IMS's sponsors has agreed to donate for our seniors as well. So they're going to approach the table, they'll retrieve their diploma. We'll have a photographer there that's capturing this for them and their families. And then once they retrieve their diploma, we have a race car that normally sits in our lobby. It's from the 50s. It raced in one of the 500s that has been since wrapped in our colors and our logo that we display. And we're going to have that sitting on the track there as well. And they're going to have a opportunity to get a picture with the graduate, with their diploma and their family, with our car. And then the IMS is going to do a message on the pylon for us So we'll have hopefully a very neat, iconic picture there with the yard of bricks and our race car and our family and the pylon in the background. And just as another memento for our seniors and their families. And then once that family finishes, they'll get back in their car. They'll exit the track as the next family is coming up. And then we'll just repeat that throughout everyone and throughout the whole time, setting up in a manner to where everybody participating on the school side, staff side, as well as those families and graduates are, like I said, maintaining that proper social distancing throughout to make sure that we keep everyone safe as we go through it.
Well, it sounds like a big effort and a great effort, and we applaud that effort, of course. We've been talking to the principal of Speedway High School, Luke Zartman. Principal Zartman, thank you so much for joining us today, and we really hope that your seniors enjoy their day at the Brickyard.
Well, thank you again for having me, and obviously I want to do a quick thank you to all those behind the scenes from IMS to our town to here at the school that are helping make this possible for our seniors.
All right. Up next, we'll close out the show with the IUPUI graduate selected to present the commencement speech to her class, virtually, that is. As a first-generation college graduate, this is an accomplishment that not even a pandemic can take away from her. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back with her in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're celebrating the class of 2020. How has your community been recognizing their graduates? Do you have any words of advice to a class graduating in a time of uncertainty? We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. And we're joined now by a soon-to-be college graduate who was also selected as the student speaker for IUPUI's 2020 commencement, L'Oreal Avery. L'Oreal, congratulations on your graduation. It's great to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, and thank you.
So what kind of degree will you be graduating with here? What'd you study?
Yeah, so I study accounting, so I'll be graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Business with a concentration on accounting and a minor in communications.
Okay. Well, the final semester looks a lot different than most students imagined, of course. What did you envision this last semester and graduation were going to be like before everything changed?
Yeah, so I've been on IUPUI's campus for a while, so I always see how, like, the campus kind of gets riled up, like, for graduates and how we're having, like, tables in the campus center and there's like balloons everywhere, like random celebrations with free pizza. So like I was excited because this year we were not just going to be able to watch graduates receive that stuff, but like we were actually going to be the ones receiving that stuff. So it's just a little different in that sense.
Oh man. And so instead you've been finishing up your college career away from the physical classroom. So what was that transition like for you in regards to classes, I guess?
Yeah. So I've taken online classes before. So like I get like the whole thing, like taking a class on the computer, but it's just different. Like, cause with one of the classes that I had to take, we were actually like zoomed in. So instead of actually physically sitting in a classroom with our teacher, we were on a Zoom call. So like there was no board, there were no like projectors or anything. So it was just different in that sense, but I think that they did a really good job with handling the transition, cause we were still able to get like our questions answered and different discussions going in the class, but it just is slightly different because you did want that on-campus experience, at least for your last semester.
What about communication with professors and instructors? I mean, was that almost better because they were just sitting at home, or was it a little harder to reach people?
Yeah, no, I actually think it is a lot easier to reach them because, like, if you think about it, when we're on campus, they have to teach classes, then they have office hours, then they're still responsible for, like, their online students. But with all of this going on, they're just, like, at home. So if they get emails, they're just checking their emails. They don't have to, like, run different places to respond to students in a timely fashion.
So I know you were involved in a lot of extracurriculars. What about that? What about outside the classroom? Did those also come to a pause to a degree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of the work that we were doing on campus and even off campus, like everybody just pretty much like put everything on hold. So like my whole life just kind of got put on pause in that sense. everything that we couldn't do online is kind of like on hold now.
I mean, everything was so abrupt. How did you feel about that? And how did you feel about not being able to do those things that you'd been doing this whole time?
Yeah, at first it was a little disappointing, but now that I'm like looking at it, it's like I keep on explaining it to like my sisters and like peers. I'm like, it's really the break that like we kind of needed, because like looking at it now, I did a lot of running around on campus. And so it's like looking at it now, a lot of things that I was doing, I didn't necessarily have to do, but I was like really stretching myself thin. So just this time has given me the opportunity to like reflect and to actually rest, because as I keep trying to remind them, like in our adult life, like we don't get a spring break, we don't get a fall break. So take advantage of this break, because one day everything's going to resume back and we're never probably ever in our adult lives going to get another break like this.
What were some of the things that you were involved with on campus specifically?
Yeah, so one of them, I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So like there we're able to serve our communities in various capacities. So we constantly had things going on in regards to that. I'm also a Bowen scholar. So we have the opportunity to like be able to go out into the communities as well, whether we're actually like doing cultural events or just like having meetings. And then like I also had a job on campus. I was a communications and marketing intern. So I was working on campus doing that. So it was just various things that I was doing that I no longer have the opportunity to actually go in and do. It kind of took it away, I feel.
What about some of your friends? Have you been talking to friends? What are some common sentiments or concerns that you've heard around campus during this time? Or I guess virtually around campus.
Yeah. So like we have IEPUI group me. So it's like various people, we have like group me's like from some of my classes. So it's just like one of the biggest things, particularly us for seniors, is like wondering, okay, we know that we're not walking on May 16th anymore, but like, are we going to be able to walk, or like, what does that look like? Cause we have some students that are graduating that are planning to move out of the city. So like at this point, we're just wondering like, what's the date look like? Is it going to be during the winter? Like, how do we go about returning our caps and gowns? Like, I feel like we have a lot of questions, but I think that IEPUI is doing a pretty good job. Like we have IEPUI class of pages on Facebook. I think they're doing a pretty good job with like having somebody come in there and like answer our questions and update us, whether it's financial aid, refunds, or just the way that events will continue to go for the rest of the semester.
So let's talk a little bit about your college career, because you're no stranger to adapting to whatever gets thrown in your way, as we understand it. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah. So my journey, it started, I took a break from high school, I took a break from once I graduated high school. So I didn't enroll immediately. So I graduated May of 2012 from high school, and I didn't enroll at IEPUI until spring 2013. I ended up like just stopping going to one of my W131 classes, because that was like back in 2013, so IEPUI wasn't as fancy as it is now. So like I was taking my class in the dark, and then I thought that the building that it was held in was creepy for whatever reason, so I just stopped going. And so that left me with a failing grade in that class, and my mom just suggested like, well, why don't you go to Ivy Tech? And so I did, because I wasn't able to get any more financial aid from IEPUI. And from there, I was able to actually like grow and like run into opportunities at Ivy Tech. Because I feel like a lot of people, they don't understand how to utilize Ivy Tech or like the benefits of it. I think people just look at it as though, oh, I'm going to take a couple classes here that I'm going to transfer. But we were just like, well, if I'm here, I might as well just get the degree and then transfer that back. So that's what I did. And in fall of 2016, I transferred back to IUPUI. And that's where I like picked up on my journey of receiving my degree from accounting or from Kelly in accounting. And I was able to do that finally this semester.
And I understand you're a first generation graduate.
I am. Yes.
So what does that mean to you?
That means a lot. I think for younger generations, like I look at like my younger cousins and different things, I just think that the environment that they're growing up in is much better than the environment that we grew up in. And not only that, now they have somebody in their family who actually did it. So I feel like it took me a while because I didn't have anybody ahead of me personally, like within my family, who actually did it. So being able to like set the tone and kind of like set the trend and almost like make it a standard, like now I'm a resource within my family. And then for other people who come from where it is that I come from, to be able to know that it actually is possible, you can do it.
And so what about the rest of your family? What about your parents? How do they feel about it? Was this kind of their idea or was it your idea?
As far as college, so my mom, it's so funny. So I say that I'm the first college graduate because I did graduate like in 2016 with my associates, and she graduated 2016 with her bachelor's from IUPUI School of Social Work, but I graduated a day before her. So I'm like, technically, if we're technical, I am the first college graduate, but like, if we're speaking generationally, like she got hers before me, but she got hers while I was getting mine. So that's where we're kind of just like, well, we're both kind of college graduates. Like, but I think that was really important to her. And that's why I think that she really focused on finishing, because she had somebody who was watching her. Like she had this little girl who was watching her and who she knew wanted to go to college and who she wanted to go to college. So it was important for her to finish. And I think that that's what gave me like the perseverance to be able to not only like get my associate's degree, but to stick through all the tests and trials that came with getting my bachelor's from IUPUI as well.
We're talking to soon-to-be college graduate L'Oreal Avery, who is also the student speaker for IUPUI's 2020 commencement. So you were selected to give this virtual student commencement speech to your class. How did that opportunity come your way?
Yeah, so it's crazy. So when I came back to IUPUI in fall of 2016, I had just like this crazy idea or like dream like that I could be the main ceremony commencement speaker. So that's kind of what I had wrote on my vision board. And from there, I don't know, like I just randomly started seeing like the opportunities presented on like the screens that we have throughout campus. And I caught one this past semester. And so I was able to like submit an application, and then we went through, I think it was either 2 to 3 rounds of interviews. And then the last round, they cracked it down to like the top 3 people. I think like we all auditioned separately. It was virtually, so like we didn't get to see the other people or anything. And from there, they chose who it was that they wanted to have speak. So that's kind of how that went.
And I've seen the speech. Great job. Did you record that yourself, I guess? I mean, that's an assignment in itself to figure out the lighting and the audio. You did a good job.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was really different recording myself and like watching myself. I started that over, I don't know how many times, it continuously messed up. So I'm glad that it turned out all right for the final time.
Yeah, but it seems like when I watched it, it seems like you're used to speaking in front of people and you get a certain energy from speaking in front of a live crowd. I mean, was that strange to just sit in a room by yourself and give this speech that you had intended to give to hundreds of people?
Yeah, it was a little different, but I believe that the message was something that people need to hear. So I actually had my boyfriend on FaceTime. And so it was almost like I was giving the speech to somebody, but I wasn't like looking. So I was able to do that. Like I was still able to give the speech to somebody, but even though I wasn't in a room, so it made it less awkward. But when I was just there by myself giving the speech, it was definitely awkward because I kept on critiquing myself and messing up and stumbling. So I was glad that he was able to watch and I was able to get through it.
I wondered, it seemed like you were really talking to us. So that was a good idea doing it that way. So we've shared the link to your speech on our Facebook and our Twitter accounts, and it's absolutely worth a listen if anybody wants to check it out. But what, I mean, I've heard the speech, so I kind of know this, but what were some of the key messages that you wanted to convey to your peers in the speech?
Yeah, I think that it's important that we realize that, kind of like how the title of the message says, like, delay doesn't mean denial. So just because something is taking longer than you expected, a lot of times it's going to be better than it is that you predicted. So it's like, just stay the course, just keep on keeping on, and know that, like, there are going to be things that happen throughout the journey, but realize that they are not things that happen to you. They actually happen for you, because when I look back, I realize how things worked out in my favor. When I thought that they were almost making me like a victim, I look back, and because I was able to focus and keep going, I became more of a victor in those situations. So like, I definitely think that people should at least take those key messages from it and know that everything will work out for you.
And you've also incorporated a slingshot into the speech. What are you asking graduates to consider here?
Yeah, so the slingshot, like the illustration, is just like before the slingshot is propelled, or in order to get it to actually launch forward, it looks like we have to pull it back. And so that's how a lot of the journey feels like when something feels impossible. It's like it feels like we're almost taking 10 steps forward when we're just trying to get propelled or we're taking 10 steps backward when we're just trying to get propelled forward. So by pulling that slingshot back, I was showing like, this is what it looks like throughout the process when like, it seems like doors are closing. It seems like things aren't working out for you. But once you let it go, that rock or whatever it is that you have in that slingshot is launched so much further just because it was pulled back. And that's just a representation, a visual one of things actually working out in your favor.
That's a good one. And have you been able to still kind of find ways to celebrate your graduation? Do you have plans to maybe have a small group together with family, maybe a few select friends? Or are there other ways you're celebrating?
So as of right now, we're still kind of figuring that out. I think it was just so different. It kind of caught me by surprise. So I think I'm just getting re-motivated back to like actually celebrate graduation and everything. Cause I wanted like the big celebration and I wanted everything. And so I realized that what that looks like now was more so of like drive-bys, or I'm glad that I'm able to do my graduation pictures here within the next week, but we're still trying to figure out what that looks like for us. I know we're going to have an open house when everything opens up. So I don't know if that'll be like August, but yeah, we're still definitely trying to figure out what that would look like for me.
Has the school offered any alternative ways to celebrate? Are you planning on attending a virtual ceremony or perhaps one that's in person, maybe down the line if they allow it?
Yeah, definitely going to attend one that's in person whenever they'll allow that to happen. I believe that Kelly School of Business will be having a virtual commencement. And I know IUPUI overall, like we have this tool like where we're able to like type our name in the search bar and we're able to actually like see that we are a graduate. So like it'll come up with like my name and my degree and everything. I'm not too sure how they're doing the virtual commencement just yet as far as IU systems or IUPUI in general, but I think that they're definitely going to figure out a way to do something for graduates.
Well, let's look even further into the future. What's next for you? Do you have anything lined up?
Yeah, so I accepted an offer for a corporate accounting position. So I'll be actually working, and then outside of that, I'll be preparing. So I competed before at Miss Indiana USA in 2016. So that's something that I'll be relentlessly pursuing. So I'll just kind of, ideally, I want to use my job to fund the dream to actually pursue that. So that's mainly what's next for me.
What about concerns that you either have or have heard from friends or peers about entering the job market right now? It's a little uncertain.
It is, but I think that's why it's important. I've been able to be in communication with the employer. So, like, they're trying to figure out something like, what does onboarding look like during this time? Or how will we handle that part of orientation, like where you would normally come into the office? So I think that a lot of companies, they're trying to do their best to, like, work with particularly new hires, aka graduates. So I know that they're trying to work that out. We actually have a call, like, tomorrow morning to see exactly how that would look like for me moving forward.
All right. Well, and I will say, I mean, I know from your speech, you're good at words of encouragement. Any last words of encouragement right now for grads who are walking through this transition with you right now?
Yeah, I would definitely tell them, like, use this time as preparation. As I kind of mentioned earlier, like, we'll never get this time back. Like, you'll never get a break of your adult life. So definitely just rest. Everything's going to work out for us. And kind of like how I say it in our graduation speech, even for the people who aren't in college or who are thinking about going back to college, like, delay does not mean denial. Like, whatever it is that you want, relentlessly pursue it, and it's going to come to pass. Like, just stay encouraged.
L'Oreal Avery, wise words, a graduate from IUPUI in the class of 2020. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, and congratulations on your success. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
And again, you can find her student commencement address on Facebook and Twitter at All in Indiana. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Adam Gross is our technical director. Our podcast can be found wherever you get podcasts. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the new book from Indiana Landmarks, which is the largest private statewide historic preservation organization in the country. In the meanwhile, again, we're on Twitter and Facebook at All in Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.